And now, before Brother Allen does give his discourse, because we have a multicultural society and we've got many nations represented by the brethren desiring to be immersed, I'll ask a brother to come around the microphone, and each one of the candidates will stand up and will give us their name, what country they come from, and if possible, what ecclesia they're associated with. Thanks, brother.
Nazywam się Dariusz Kuźnik, urodziłem się i wychowałem się w zborze Kozy Dolne od 5 lat.
Mă numesc Viorica Mureșan, sunt din România și fac parte din adunarea fraților din Zalău.
I'm Miroslav Jurak, I'm coming from Croatia, Ecclesia Velika Gorica.
I'm James Kovcik from Melbourne, Australia, and I attend the Berean Bible Ecclesia.
My name is Evie Galaguz. I am originally from the United States, and unfortunately there is no ecclesia in my area.
My name is Kent Burjushu, you used to say that in America. We don't have an ecclesia either. We have an online internet study group, which is kind of my ecclesia. Thank you.
Andrzej Miksa, Zgromadzenie Ludu Pana w Wiedniu, Austria.
Thank you, brethren. So as you have all heard, we have quite a broad selection and brethren from different countries where there were no brethren before, and now there will be an undoubtedly new ecclesia springing up, just as has been the case in the Philippines and the work that I've been associated with. So the light of our Lord's work will be spread forth. Without any further ado, I'll now ask Brother Alan Springer if he can give us the baptismal address. Brother Alan, please.
As the brethren have said, this is a very special occasion. It's a special privilege, a special honor for all of us to be here today. Initially, I thought, there's going to be 4 attributes of God. I thought of the attributes of God. And then we heard, there's going to be 6. And I thought, that's an incomplete number. And then we heard there's going to be 7. Then 8. Well, as we learned, 8 has significance as well. It's a new beginning. And that's appropriate, isn't it? Brother Dariusz has a special tag on him. And we should all be wearing that tag. I don't know if you can see it, but it says service. And that's one aspect of our consecrated lives. A question. Why are we here? Why are we here? There's a short answer and there's a long answer. The brethren who attend the Sunday evening study, they've heard me say that many times. The short answer was mentioned in the opening prayer. We're all here to be witnesses. All of us to be witnesses. The 8 candidates are going to give a witness, and the rest of us are going to receive that witness. And it's an important job for the rest of us, because we're representatives of their brethren throughout the world, and I can't think of a better place for that to happen than right here. And they want to tell us something, don't they? What do they want to tell us? They want to tell us that God invited them to be partakers of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what they want to tell us. That they received the invitation and that they answered that invitation like so many of us have. And they want to show you that by the scriptural symbol of water immersion. Baptisms, plural, is mentioned by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. He lists several doctrines in the first two verses of Hebrews 6. And he mentions baptisms. And it's plural in the Greek. And he says, I'm not going to talk about that. Why wasn't he going to talk about it? Because it wasn't important? No. He says, I'm not going to talk about it because it's fundamental. It's so important that you Hebrew brethren should already know about it. So baptism is a fundamental doctrine. Now, we'll touch on different ones that Paul probably had in mind when he used the plural. But we want to start with the real baptism. The baptism of the new creation. And we know what the real baptism is. And it can't be stressed enough. It's baptism, immersion into Christ's death. That's the real baptism. Immersion into Christ's death. And you all know where that comes from. It comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? So, baptism into Christ. Many believe in baptism into Christ. But baptism into His death is a more important concept. We'll touch on aspects of that momentarily. And if you're dead, what do you have to do with a dead body? You have to bury it. So not only are we immersed into Christ's death, we are buried with Christ. Colossians 2:12, Philippians 3:10-11. But it's not something that happens in a moment. It's a process. So many things in the plan of God involve a process. And we selected three scriptures to show three different aspects of this process. In Luke 12:50, Jesus said, we're paraphrasing, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how I am straightened till it be accomplished. Well, we don't use that word even in English very often, the word straightened. But I think it means I am focused on that one thing. That's what we want to do. But notice, he says, I am being baptized with this. It's a process. For Jesus, it started at His consecration and Spirit begettal at Jordan. Now later on, the sons of Zebedee came with their mother and they wanted to be on the right hand and the left hand. And Jesus didn't say, no, you can't do that. He didn't say that. He simply said, I'm not going to make that decision. But if you want to try for that, you also have to do the same thing. You also have to have a baptism to be baptized with. The same one that I'm baptized with, you have to be baptized with. And he asked them, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism I am being baptized with? That's the correct sense in the original. A process. For Jesus, it ended at Calvary. And how fitting that among His last words on the cross are those recorded in John 19, verse 30. It is finished. His death baptism was finished. And for all of us, our death baptism begins at that moment when we made that decision in our hearts to be dead with Christ. And God accepted that decision. And it ends when we are physically dead as human beings. Now, we can't do this in our own merit. It's only through the merit of Christ. It's only by the grace of God. And we must be clothed with Christ. Galatians chapter 3, the last few verses, the whole chapter is beautiful, but the last few verses, and especially verse 27, shows this. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, mentions a number of important things there. One God. One Lord. One faith. One hope of our high calling. And I've saved the other one last intentionally. One baptism. There's only one baptism. It's associated with that one hope. The hope of the high calling. So the real baptism requires consecration. And you know that word means set apart to holy service. And holy service now, during the gospel age, requires sacrifice. We made our consecration to do God's will, whatever that is. But now, during a limited time, for a special purpose, doing God's will requires sacrifice. Only now, during the gospel age, is it possible to be baptized into Christ's death. We've talked about the real baptism, and if you analyze the scriptures quoted, it doesn't say anything about water baptism. So maybe we should just forget about water baptism. No. No. We're emphasizing the real baptism, but water baptism has an important purpose. But we must understand that it is only a symbol. It is an outward declaration of what has already taken place in your hearts. It's only a symbol, but it's a beautiful symbol. And it's the most appropriate symbol we can think of, that we could imagine. The real consecration is in the heart. That's a consecration all of you have already made. But instead, at the beginning, you want to show your brethren in a scriptural way that you made that decision and you believe God has accepted that decision. Why do we do this? We do this, we observe the symbol, because Jesus gave us the example. The Jews had, I don't remember the number, something like 400 or 500 different laws. 600, thank you. A lot. Rituals and repetitious things that they had to do under the law. How many has God given to us? I can think of three. There's the memorial, which all of us observe. Beautiful symbol. Not difficult. There's, for the sisters only, head coverings. I know there's differences of opinion on that, but it's a symbol, and I think it's a nice one. And then, of course, water immersion, which all of us likewise can partake of. And total immersion is the only proper symbol. Taking water and sprinkling it on somebody, that doesn't show death. I can't see it. Taking water and pouring it on someone's head doesn't show death. The only proper symbol is total immersion to show that burial into Christ's death. The burial of our will into the will of God, and then that most familiar scripture in Revelation 2:10, even unto death. Well, we're already dead. We're reckoned dead as human beings. But keeping the old man dead is a difficult task. And that's something that we need all the help we can get. We get that from our Heavenly Father. We get that from our Lord Jesus. And we get that from one another. And you know, the Lord can use anything. And sometimes we even get that help from sources we don't expect. Even from the world. When you all go to the pool, and each one of you goes down into the water, brother will be waiting there for you. And we know that he represents our Lord Jesus. He represents our Lord Jesus. And we'll talk just a moment here about authority. We believe that we have scriptural authority for doing what we're going to do today. It comes from God. And that's why we sometimes say, by God's authority. It comes from Jesus. And that's why sometimes we say, by Jesus' authority. And of course, it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. That has to do with the authority aspect. We have good scriptural authority for doing this. So we'll call him the administrator. The brother in the pool represents Jesus. You'll go to him and you're going to surrender to him in a manner of speaking. You're going to put yourself into his hands. And once he lowers you under the water, you're helpless. There's no way that you can get back up without his help. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture of the role that Jesus plays in our lives. And also, it's only Jesus that can raise us up again. Now, he's as God's representative, as we mentioned. A just man falls 7 times but riseth up again. One of my favorite scriptures. But, you know, that's not a literal 7, is it? We know that from other scriptures concerning forgiveness. Peter thought he had it. 7 times, Lord, I'll do the 7 times and then I'm finished. No. Jesus says, no. 70 times 7. And one of the Gospels says, in a day. Now, I don't know about you, I think it's possible that I might have made the same mistake 490 times in one day. It's possible. Not likely. But even so, there's no limit. That's the point. The forgiveness we have through Christ, he's always there as God's representative to lift us up again. There are other baptisms mentioned in the scriptures. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a different subject. Baptism for the forgiveness of sins, a different subject. Baptism of repentance, it's sometimes called in Mark 1:4. But we know this was only for the Jews, as mentioned in Acts 19, verses 3 to 5. some very wrong ideas concerning baptism began to develop after the apostles passed off the scene. The great falling away came in. I was a member of the Roman Catholic Church when I was a child. Water baptism is one of the sacraments of the papacy. Water baptism is considered necessary for membership in many churches. But they're looking at the symbol and they don't see the reality. What a blessing for all of us to be able to see the reality. The time is short. I'm not just talking about when the buses leave this afternoon. We're talking about the time is short from the Apostle Paul's standpoint. We don't know how much time we have. It's enough time. We don't ever want to forget. We have enough time. The Lord wouldn't call us. He wouldn't accept us if there wasn't enough time. There's enough time. Now, there was one thought in one of the discourses that kind of, it pricked me. I don't know how to say it. Like a knife. And that was, we don't have any time to waste. And I'm thinking, I've wasted a lot of time in my consecrated life. Well, maybe we could put it a different way. The Lord doesn't waste any time. Even if we do, Romans 8:28 is right there, and He'll make it work out for our good. We do the best we can, and we leave the rest in the Lord's hands. I told you there was a short answer and a long answer to the question, why are we here? Well, I thought about that a lot. And I have several pages of notes. They're not here with me because I'm not going to use them. Because the time is short. And at the end I decided, the best way would be to tell you an experience. When I was a young man, I had a friend, 16 years old. He died. It was a tragic death. If you want to know the reasons, the genetic reasons behind that, you can ask James Mishtash. He knows about it. I didn't believe in life after death at that time. I had no hope for myself or for him, but I couldn't accept that. I mourned for my friend. Now, my friends, who were his friends, they mourned for him. And then gradually, they got over it, as we say, the English expression. But I didn't. And finally, one of them said to me, let it go. Forget it. There's nothing you can do. Get over it. I didn't know the truth at that point. But I said to him, I don't want to get over it. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to forget about it. And I know this sounds crazy, but I think there's got to be something we can do. That's what I told my friend. And he did. He thought I was crazy. Well, 2 years later, after a long and winding road, the Lord led me to the brethren, the Bible students, the writings of Brother Russell. And then I knew, yes, there's something you can do. That's incredible when you think about it. It's one thing to recognize that God has a plan and He's going to bring everybody back. You could be spectators. You know what that word means. Watching. But those of us who made a consecration, we decided, we don't want to just be spectators. We want to do something. We want to be involved. That's the hope that's set before us. That's part of being baptized into Christ's death. Recognizing that God has called us. He's called us to be dead with Christ, but for a reason. The most sublime reason in the universe. We're touched by sin and death in the world today. That's where it started for me. And it wasn't just my friend who died, because I realized, well, everyone is dying. And Jesus was touched. And there's something we can do about it. That promise is given to us. If we're faithful, we can stop the trouble that's in the world today. You know, Matthew 24, that's one of the promises given there. If we're faithful, we'll be able to crush Satan under our feet. Another promise. And if we're faithful, we'll be able to bring back all those people. One last experience I want to share with you, connected. I began with my friend who died what I call a sin offering scrapbook. A kind of a book of memories. And the first entry was my friend. And every time that I was particularly touched by an event, by something happening in the world, I put that in that scrapbook. It started out as a literal book. And it didn't take very long for me to realize this isn't going to work. It got filled up. And I think I would have had a library by now. So I went to the Lord and I said, okay, I'm going to take these memories and I'm going to put them in my brain and I'm going to mark them as sin offering memories. And I'm trusting that you will work with it on the other side. That you'll open that book for me again on the other side. So, there's hardly a day goes by that I don't add another page to that book. And I can't wait till we get to the other side if we're faithful. And I'm sure all of us have something like that. Maybe we didn't think of it in that way. But I can't wait until I can open that book and look at those people and think about maybe I could do something to help in bringing them back. If it's not them, some other member of the bride of Christ will do that together with Jesus, but we're all going to be working together. We're all going to be involved in that project, lifting the world of mankind back to perfection. Now, it's hard for me to imagine a greater incentive than that for being faithful. Well, we must close. And so at this time, we'll ask whoever has the microphone to come forth. I'm going to ask you all to stand up.
And I have the three questions. I think you probably all know them. We'll wait for the microphone. It's a good opportunity to take pictures. I want to say again that it is indeed a really special blessing. As was mentioned at the beginning, there has not been an international convention with an official baptismal service. I think there was one other occasion when there was a baptism, wasn't part of the regular program. And so it's a very special day for all of us. Okay. Well, brethren, we'll ask you all to sit down, please. Not the candidates remain standing. We ask the rest of you. So I'm going to ask the question, and then we'll ask each of you to respond verbally one at a time.
Na każde pytanie jedną odpowiedź.
Tak. I'm going to ask the question, and all you have to do is say yes or no.
Albo tak, albo nie, możesz powiedzieć.
The first question is, do you recognize that you are a sinner, a member of Adam's fallen race?
Tak.
Each one.
Yes.
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 Da, cu siguranță. Yes.
Tak.
The second question. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior?
Tak.
Da. Da, am acceptat.
Yes.
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 The third question is the most important. It's a short question, but the response involves a lifetime. Have you made a full consecration to do the will of God, even unto death?
Tak.
Yes.
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 Sigur.
Da.
Tak.
Your brethren, remain standing, please. On the basis of your responses, not in the name of any party, sect, or creed, but merely in the name of our Lord Jesus, it gives me great pleasure to extend to you the right hand of fellowship.